I'd like to share with you a message this morning on the basis of the Pentecost reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and it's found on page 1078 of your pew Bible if you would like to follow it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your coming upon the 120 and filling them with yourself and beginning the church, those who are called out. Lord, as we meditate on this word today, so indeed come and fill us through this word. Enable us, O God, to grow as your people, and enable us indeed, Holy Spirit, by your power, to be people who change the world, just as those first disciples changed the world. So bless us and speak to each one of us, and fill us as we meditate upon this word. In the precious name of Jesus, our Saviour, we pray. All glory and honour be to you this day, O Holy Spirit, on your feast day. Amen. And my message this morning is entitled, "The Overpowering, Overcoming, Overwhelming Birthday of the Church." If you were to ask me what I consider to be the most wonderful day of my life, maybe you would expect me to say my baptism. After all, that was the day I was born into the family of God through the water and word of baptism. But I was only 6 weeks old then, and I don't really have any memory of it. While it was a special day, it wasn't the greatest day of my life. Similarly, it wasn't the greatest day. It was my confirmation day when I was confirmed in the church and when after 2 years of sitting through some pretty boring confirmation lessons, I was finally confirmed and could receive Holy Communion. That was great, but it still wasn't my greatest day. And walking where angels fear to tread now, I wouldn't even say that it was my wedding day, but it runs a close second. And no, it wasn't the day that I was ordained after 6.5 years of slog at Luther Seminary until I was finally ordained a pastor in the church. The greatest day of my life was the day our firstborn, our daughter, was born. There are many special days that have happened in my life, and I remember many of the details of them, but this one was a very special day, and I remember all the things that happened. It began about 5 o'clock in the morning when Clenda woke up with some mild contractions, and being greenhorns at this whole birth thing, we were excited, and so we rang the hospital, and since we lived about an hour away, they said that we should come on down. So we were the owners back then of 2 very large white Pyrenean mountain dogs, so we had to take them to our friends who were going to look after them while we were in hospital. So we dropped them off and we got to the hospital about 7 o'clock and we were admitted. We had a breakfast and then things just went along fairly normal until about 10:30. And about 10:30, I bent over to pick up something off the floor and I ripped the shorts that I was wearing, split them right up the back. Now, I don't know how come she actually had a needle and thread with her, but Clenda had a needle and thread with her that day. And here I was with a towel wrapped around me with my underpants, and Clenda was sitting up in bed stitching up my shorts because I didn't have another pair. So anyway, as lunch came and we had a bit of a laugh about the morning, and then things began to heat up a little bit, but Clenda was coping okay with the contractions, but about 5:30 p.m. things started to really kick in, and I think you mums know what I mean by things really kicking in. Well, about 7:15 p.m. Clenda was wheeled into the birthing unit, and at about 8:40 p.m. our dear little girl, Clenda Marie Wachner, was born. Her first name is now Mika because she changed it when she grew older. Now that day I was lucky to escape with my life on 2 occasions. Firstly, I was giving Clenda a hug during one of her contractions and the contraction came. She had her arms around my neck. Things started to get a bit tight. And the other thing was after Clenda Marie was born, I was babbling on about what a beautiful baby she was, and I accidentally insulted Clenda. She knew what a hopelessly besotted dad I was, though, and she forgave me eventually, but it still brought up against me from time to time, you know, like those things are. Ladies, don't you? No, I'm not telling them. They can ask you, and you can tell them if you want to. Birth is a wonderful experience. It's a life-changing experience to have your firstborn. It's really wonderful. And all the other children you have, to see it is just absolutely blows you away time after time after how many children that you have. Birth is an overpowering, overcoming, and overwhelming experience. On this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate another day of birth. The birthday of the church. Not our church here, Holy Trinity Kiwanis, not the Anglican Church of Australia, not the worldwide Roman Catholic Church or Orthodox Church, but rather the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church was born on this day. And it too was an overpowering, overcoming, and overwhelming experience. Now, the birth of a child is an overpowering experience, isn't it? Think about it. Another person is formed inside the mother and begins to grow inside the womb for some 9 months. And during that time, the body of the baby takes priority over the body of the mother. All kinds of changes occur, all radically designed to enhance the health and survival of the child. And they overpower the mother's body and change it radically. Many of the changes are obvious, many more are not. Some women make it look easy, some struggle, especially in the last month. And we husbands, we men, we try and understand, honestly we do, but it's just so out of our league. It's beyond us. There's nothing more overpowering as a baby in the mother's womb. The birth of the church also was an overpowering experience. Pentecost is not the name the church gave to the day. As you know, Pentecost is the day of one of the major feasts of the Old Testament. It was a day in which the Jews were to bring thanksgiving offerings to the temple in Jerusalem for the Lord. It was to be held 7 weeks after the first day after the Passover, hence 50 days, and it's often used other name, the Feast of Weeks, the 7 weeks. In the beginning of our text, we find that it's just a normal Pentecost feast in Jerusalem. The apostles and disciples were gathered in one place to celebrate, and then suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. But not a breath of air moved. And what they saw seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them, but not one hair of their heads was singed. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. These other tongues were other languages, and they hadn't been to language school. They hadn't learnt to speak in these other languages. They were overpowered by the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The birth of the church was an overpowering experience. The disciples were overpowered by the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. The birth of a child is also an overcoming experience. The birth of a child overcomes death. There is a cycle of life in life, and there's a process at work here, and it happens again over and over, time after time. When my daughter was born, I thought she had my grandfather's ears. He had rather scrappy looking ears, and so did my daughter when she was born. But the doctor told me that that was actually a result of the tight journey out, and many babies are born with scrappy ears. But anyway, our daughter does have Clenda's same nose shape and Clenda's height or lack of it, and also has my colour eyes. My son has Clenda's boundless energy and her inquiring mind, and also my sense of humour, so we regularly send apologies to my son's partner. In the battle between death and life, birth wins, hands down, every time. Life wins. Birth overcomes the barriers of death. Our text says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language." Borders divide people. Races divide people. Languages divide people. But here in Jerusalem, there were no boundaries, no borders. The divisions of death were overcome by life in the Spirit. The Spirit enabled the disciples to speak the wonders of God in the language of those present, without them ever having had to have learnt that particular language. The barrier of language that came about as a result of the pride of humanity that happened at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis had been broken down now in the unity of the language of the Spirit that was spoken on that first Pentecost Sunday. And what the Spirit-filled disciples spoke that day of was the wonderful things God had done. The divisions of death had been overcome by life in the Spirit. And Pentecost indeed is an overcoming experience. The birth of a child is also an overwhelming experience. A mother will almost always cry at the birth of the child. There are tears of pain and joy, of relief and peace, and overwhelming amazement at the wonder of it all. The overwhelming experience at birth can also lead overwhelming experience at birth can also lead fathers like me to go prattling off and do the wrong thing. The birth of a child is an amazing high. I know that words cannot describe the amazement, the wonder, the overwhelmingness of the birth that of our two children. And I know Glenda did so experience that too, but even in a bigger and greater way than me. The birth of the church was also an overwhelming experience. Luke writes that those present were amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? They asked one another. Some made fun and said that they thought the disciples were drunk. They had too much wine. But Peter got up and explained what was happening. It was too early in the morning for them to have been under the weather. It was only 9 o'clock. No, what was actually happening was the fulfillment, was a spiritual experience, and it was the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Joel, who said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." And I must say clearly here, I'm still only having visions. The crowd was overwhelmed with what they had seen and heard. They could not understand it. It was beyond their comprehension. But God was in control. God was bringing the scriptures to fruition. He was doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was a most overpowering, overcoming, overwhelming experience. And the church that began on that first Pentecost Sunday continues to exist today. We are members of that church. In our baptism, we have received that same overpowering, overcoming, and overwhelming Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon us in supernatural ways, in the water and the word of holy baptism. We have been made people of power. People who are gifted in unique ways to work together as the body of Christ to advance His mission here on this earth. We're not weak, we're not pitiful. We are powerful beyond what our physical limitations allow us. We are people who God has given His Spirit to. And just as the first disciples were able to speak in other tongues, we can do such amazing things as well in the power of God. God has birthed us into His family, the church. And so as people of power, we can overcome all human divisions and barriers. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to witness to the fact that we are one in Jesus Christ, and that in Him, God is reconciling the world to Himself, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5. The church is to be non-discriminatory. All people are welcome here, no matter who they are. All human division melts in the community of the Holy Spirit. We are all one in Christ. We all come to Him equal as sinners, And here at the church, we find the forgiveness of our sins, we find the power of the Holy Spirit, and we find the promise of eternal life through the means of grace that God gives us in His Word and in the sacraments. We come as one. And as we are baptized, we become saints who struggle with a sin nature. Once again, we're all equal. We all have the Holy Spirit within us. We're all growing, but we're all struggling with our sin nature. But we are still all equal because of what God has done for us in Christ. In the community of the church, we're called to impact the world. We're called to share this message, the message like the disciples gave. They spoke about the wonderful things that God has done, and the message of the wonderful thing God has done, particularly the wonderful thing that He has done in Jesus Christ, is overpowering, overcoming, and overwhelming for people of the world. And like those present on Pentecost Sunday, some will believe and others will scoff. But we continue to preach and teach of what we have seen and heard and believed because that is our biblical mandate. That is our calling as church, to be prophetic, to be a witnessing church to God and all of His wonders, particularly the wonder of His Son, Jesus Christ. Today is the birthday of the church. Each day God pours out His Holy Spirit upon His church, upon us, in the same way as He did on that first Pentecost Sunday. Life in the church is actually life in the Spirit. It's overwhelming, overcoming, and overpowering. Amen. Just like to do a little spiritual exercise with you now. If you just close your eyes. And what I'd like you to do is think about those times where you might have scoffed against the Holy Spirit, against Christians who are charismatic or Pentecostal, or if you have poo-pooed the gift of tongues or any of the spiritual gifts or anything like that, if you could just confess them up to the Lord, because those things will actually be a barrier to you being renewed and refilled with the Holy Spirit. So just spend a few moments where you might have put a barrier up. Just confess it to God and cleanse it out of your system. Or maybe where you've been disappointed with the Holy Spirit just comes to my mind. And then just quietly to yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with Himself, to refresh you, renew you, reinvigorate you in His power, so that you can be like that balloon with the air in it. And if you feel a movement of the Holy Spirit within you, just run with it, however that might be. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fall upon us. Refresh us, renew us, reinvigorate us. Bind us together here as your people at HTK. that we might be of one body, one heart, one mind, one spirit, of one baptism, that we might serve you together. That, Lord, that we might share the gifts and fruit that you have given us in order to be your life, your light, your salvation to the world. Lord, bless us and encourage us and empower us by your presence in our hearts and in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Fall upon us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Fill our hearts, O your grace. Empower us with your life. Holy Spirit, fall. Come, fall on us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, everyone.